Well, thank you for joining us on another weekend of racing here in the From the Horse's Mouth podcast. My name is Patrick Connelly, and I'm joined this week by Rory De Largy and by Matt Chapman, who I will bring in shortly. But until I do, before I do, I've got a couple of announcements for you. Well done to Dan Croker, aptly enough, as the GAA getting into the full swing, who won our free 50 quid bet competition, 50 euro for him. Well done. But this week, we're going to do something different. It's not a free bet. This is something that, it's a prize that just, you couldn't put a price on it. On Monday, we're going to be filming a new batch of our now somewhat famous racing quiz shows, which Matt Chapman has taken part in before and has been absolutely amazing at not getting any of the questions correct. We're going to be recording them on Monday. That's this Monday, Monday the 30th, in Dublin. It's going to be a long session in terms of, we're going to do three shows between 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. And we have free tickets, free food, free booze for you. You can go and watch the quizzes, enjoy the crack with the lads. But all you have to do to put your name down is email fthm at Paddy Power and let us know that you're interested. And you can bring along a friend as well, possibly even two, because we're looking to really pack it out and have a bit of fun with this. Matt Chapman, are you going to this? You were so good last time. I think you haven't made the cut, have you?
as at this moment of broadcast, I'm currently in Valencia in Spain, and unfortunately, I'm coming back on Monday morning, and then I have to broadcast from Windsor on Monday night. So, I mean, there is a possibility I didn't make the cut, but there is also a possibility that unfortunately it was the one day that I couldn't do. But to be honest, it sounds great fun. I mean, they're good fun recording them, and I reckon if anyone comes along, they will, you know, enjoy the afternoon and a rare opportunity to see Ruby Wall smile, I presume. So that's always worth having a look at.
But when he hears you're not there.
Wow, you've really started quite aggressive today, quite aggressive.
Not at all. No, it's all hashtag banter, isn't it? Look, it's a great opportunity to see some real top-class racing names, have a bit of fun as well. And as I said, just in case you missed it, free booze. I think that might get a few more. Right, email fthm at paddypair.com. Rory, you weren't invited to this because basically it'd be very boring otherwise, because you just get all the questions right.
Well, that's a common misconception, obviously, but I'm happy to continue it. That's grand for me.
Okay, fair enough. What we are going to get off you lads is winners, hopefully this weekend on ITV. ITV are going to Haydock, Beverly and Chester on Saturday afternoon. And those are the races we're going to look ahead to. Of course, it's the weekend before the Derby, so the racing not quite top notch, but we want winners. That's the main thing. And we're going to kick off at Haydock in the 145. It's a 5 furlong sprint. It's the Achilles Stakes. This is a money back special on the Paddy Power website, by the way. It's money back as a free bet if you're second, third or fourth. And it features a horse and dragon symbol who tops the market at 9-4, who takes a significant drop in class. I'd be interested to see what the lads make at that price. 5-1 Clarendon House for Robert Cowell does so well with sprinters. 7-1 Ainsdale, 8-1 Atalas Bay, 9-1 Tab Deed, and then the rest are double figure prices. Okay, Rory, going to go straight to you. I look at this race and I'm surprised Dragon Symbol is as big as 9-4. Am I wrong?
No, I don't think so. I mean, this is all about value. From it's always all about value, to be honest, isn't it? I could be with or against Dragon Symbol without seeing the prices, because he was a bit disappointing on his comeback. For all his talent, he's racking up a series of defeats. He had plenty of excuses for a number of runs last year, but he was a wee bit disappointing on the Duke of York on his reappearance, when he was very free in front and then faded quite tamely out of it. But he is a class apart. You know, on last season's form, he's a better horse than his opposition here. And at 9-4, I would have to be with him. I can see him starting shorter than that. And as we saw with Winter Power last week, you know, when these sprinters aren't quite right, they tend to be well off target. But I'd have thought that the reappearance run would have done him a lot of good. I think most significantly, he strikes me as one of those sprinters who's going to be better at 5 furlongs than 6, even though he stayed 6 very well at Royal Ascot last year in the Commonwealth Cup. As time's gone on, he's got a little bit more headstrong, a little bit freer in his races. And I think horses like that will always end up better at the shorter trip. So dropping back to 5 furlongs is a positive for him here. If he isn't up to winning this, then Connections have got a bit of a problem, really. I find it hard to be against them. Clarendon House and Atalas Bay are both interesting enough. I just can't back a Robert Cowell horse at the moment. He's struggling for winners. He's a very good trainer of sprinters, but like a lot of sprint trainers, they tend to be a bit streaky as well. You've got to catch them when they hit form, both the trainers and the horses. And, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if Robert Kyle came back to form at this stage, but he had a very poor May. by his standards. And I'm just, you know, if I'm looking at Dragon Symbol at 9-4 or Clarendon House or Talis Bay at single figure prices behind him, I've got to stick with Dragon Symbol. I can see him getting punted and going off at 6-4, and I probably wouldn't want to get too heavily involved at that. But as we stand at those prices, you know, whether you're a little bit wary of getting too heavily involved, he's the one you have to be with, I think.
Okay, that's kind of two votes for Dragon Symbol. Mr. Chapman?
Yeah, it's interesting with Dragon Symbol, because if I was to say, even to a man of Rory's incredible knowledge, name Roger Varian's top three sprinters that he's trained, I think we'd all be scratching our heads a little while. I mean, he doesn't really train sprinters. That's not, of course, to say that he can't, but he doesn't really have a history of sprinters. Look, I thought Rory was very, very nice about Dragon Symbol on his comeback at York. I thought that was an absolutely desperate comeback, like rubbish. And also the one thing that was noted that day at York was he looked like a little rat, Dragon Symbol. He hadn't strengthened or grown at all. Having said all that, this is a huge drop in grade, and he doesn't actually need to be as good as he was to win this. So he can have depreciated Dom Downhill a few pounds and still be good enough for this. And I just wonder, because Roger Varian isn't used to training a horse like this, that maybe he just wasn't fit enough for the debut run. And maybe he's a horse who will improve significantly for that effort. So I'm with Rory here. I think that the memory of what he did last season lives on. And if just a few months later, because he doesn't have to, it's only a few months after he was running well, a few months later, if he can repeat any of that form, he should just be good enough. But it was a desperate, desperate comeback. And as I say, if he was a big horse who might progress, you might be more hopeful, because he is not a big horse. He is a tiny little thing. So who knows whether he can do better, but I'm, after all that waffle, I am with Dragon Symbol.
Oh, no, it's not waffle. You're making the case for Dragon Symbol, but it's quite clear that you both think he's probably going to win. It's just, it's a little bit of, that run wasn't great, was it? Right, Dragon Symbol, that's kind of three votes for Dragon Symbol. Let's move on to the 220. It's a mile and a half handicap. This is an extra place race, by the way, folks. Contact is the 3-1 favourite for David and Nicola Barron. 3-1 joint favourite, I should say, with Kevin Ryan's Forza Orta. Both those horses in good nick at the moment. Mahrajan for William Haggis and Jim Crowley. William Haggis cannot train a loser at the moment. 7-2 from 9-2. That's already been backed. HMS President is 8-1. Scarlet Dragon is 10-1. Same owner trainer combination there. 12-1 and bigger the rest. All right, Matt, straight back to you for this mile and a half handicap extra place race and an open field. And it is open this time.
Well, I'll be fascinated to see what Rory says about this race, but I'll be stunned if Mahrajan doesn't go off favour. I really will. I mean, he stood out to me in this race. Lightly raced four-year-old, just the type of horse. Funny enough, we always talk about stout with older horses, but I'd have Haggis just as good with older horses. Only had the five starts, ended up with a decent third at York in the most competitive race he ran in. He's gone up a pound for that, but you'd expect there to be more improvement. A mile and a half, perfect. As I say, I'm away at the moment. The only thing I thought with Mahrajan is he wouldn't want the ground to be too fast, but as long as it was good or softer, as I say, I'd be very surprised if he doesn't go off favourite for this race. I thought he stood out as the sexy horse in the race.
I think it's easier to predict the winner of any 16 runner handicap than get the prediction of the going at Haydock in advance, 24 hours in advance. So Rory, give us your latest update on the ground and your thoughts on the race.
The ground was they were kicking up sods yesterday, and it was on the soft side of good. But it's just whatever going description you have at Haydock never seems to match exactly what it does. I've described Haydock as like custard before. You know, it's a non-Newtonian racecourse. The more it rains, the faster it seems to get at Haydock, and the more it dries out, the more it seems like,
Rory,
like heavy ground.
Rory, you're using language now that Patrick doesn't even, he's never heard of that at all. Can you explain to Patrick what that means?
By Patrick, it means Matt, by the way.
You know the way if you stand in custard, you sink. But you can actually run across custard and it will support your weight. So it ends up, a custard actually feels like it's a, like it's a solid when you're moving quickly on it. And the Haydock's turf seems to be like that as well. I can't get my head around it. It is at least drying out. Although there is, I've just looked at the weather last night, and there's a vague chance of catching a shower on Saturday. But it looks like it's a little bit cloudy and overcast, but sunshine as well. So it should be good. But Haydock's it's just one of those tracks that even when you know what the going's going to be like, it's still a bit of a struggle to work out where you want to be or what run style you want to have. As far as this race goes, I think Matt's right in terms of the market here. I think Marajan, because of his connections and because of his profile, I think he will start favourite. Normally, a horse coming back off a layoff like he is would, you know, you'd be slightly wary of. But William Haggis will pretty much always get his handicappers fit first time out. And he's been in such good form in May that I think punters will happily pile into Marajan. They'll have no question about him. And I respect his chances. I thought that Forza Orta was really solid, though. He was he won a novice over a mile and three at Hamilton last season. And he picked up the Progressive Thread when winning a handicap there in May. And he ran the race of his life last time out in a very competitive handicap at the May meeting at York when he was second to Garcia, who was a William Haggis handicap debutant who was punted off the boards. And I think finishing second to Garcia is probably going to be very good form. He was two lengths clear of the rest of them. Sir Michael Stout's Just Fine was quite well fancied in that. And that's bound to turn out to be pretty strong form. So I can't see Forza Orta finishing out of the money here. There's not a huge amount of each way value around him at the current odds, but he was just about my pick in the race. And that's pretty much where I stand, really.
There you go. Old Utonian custard in going descriptions. The pod has taken a very, very different turn, I think it's fair to say. Let's move on to the 255 ahead. Just to recap, Forza Orta for Rory and Maharajan. 255 is the pinnacle stakes. It might just be the pinnacle of the weekend's racing. A mile and, a mile and a half and a group three. And C. La Rosa for that man again. Again, William Haggis, Tom Markham, 5-2. Group one winners last weekend with Alan Kerr. 7-2, Climate. Jessica Harrington sending this one over. James Doyle booked for the ride. Noon Star for Sir Michael Stout and Richard Kingscote. So brilliantly bred, but she just hasn't quite hit the heights yet. 9-2. Lady Hayes is 11-2 for Roger Varian and 8-1 for Delectable You, Frankie and Jonathan Thady Gosden combining there. Also 8-1 Nell Quickly. Okay, straight back to you, Rory. This is probably one of the best races of the weekend. And again, Haggis to the fore.
Yeah, and Cela Rosa's got a very, very nice profile for this. She's not quite the pick of them on form, but she was progressive last season. She ran her best race on her final start at Lingfield in October, and you would expect her to improve again from 3-4. So I think she's an obvious enough favourite. Be interesting to hear what Matt says about Noon Star. He talks about how Dragon Symbol hadn't progressed physically from 3-4. And I think that's probably true of Noon Star as well, who ran at the same meeting. Matt will have seen her in the paddock. She wasn't particularly prepossessing last year, physically speaking, and she didn't go on from a very good start. I think she was close to favourite for the Oaks after winning a novice at Weatherby on her reappearance, and she hasn't really gone on from that. She did win again. She won a listed race at Nottingham on her return, but Nottinghamshire Oaks. It's only a four-runner affair, and she ran to just a similar level when down the field behind Lilac Road and the Middleton at York. I don't think she's progressing. And again, it'll be interesting to see what Matt says, because he saw her in the flesh, so he might have a different opinion about her condition there and how she might go on from it. Climate has the beating of her anyway. She was fourth in the Dahlia Stakes at Newmarket. That looks like a really good run. I'm slightly wary of it, though, in that it was not a particularly well-run race, and the first five home were in a heap at the end of it. I thought Lilac Road shaped best of those that day, and she then won the Middleton next time out at a quite big price as well for William Haggis. I thought she shaped better than Climate in that race. Climate was close enough. She was held up off the pace, but closer to it than Lilac Road was. And I thought she was potentially a little bit flattered by the way that race panned out. Clearly, the race has worked out well enough since with Lilac Road winning the Middleton. But I'm just a little bit wary about giving Climate's the benefit of the diet in terms of her improvement there. You respect her chances, but I'm not sure that she's quite as good as her official mark suggests she is. Delectable You has got plenty defined on form, but this family do so well. Another winner from the family yesterday. And Delectable You, she won a handicap off 80 on her reappearance at Windsor. And that was a bunch finish as well. So you'd normally say there's no way that she wins a race like this, given that she's only just got home in a handicap, haven't been well positioned. But it wouldn't be a massive surprise if they could take a big step forward from that, because the family can do that. I'd respect Nell Quickly's chances as well. She was progressive last year in handicaps. Again, her handicap win at Newmarket in October came off a mark of 89. So on the figure, she needs to improve again. But she kept doing everything that was asked of her last season. Not really her fault that she was starting off at a reasonably low base. So I think she's got a half-decent chance. But if you like Cela Rosa, and I think Cela Rosa is the likeliest winner in the race, then the what price have you got, Viola?
20-1.
20-1 is a big each way price. I don't think Viola's quite good enough to win this, but she beat Cela Rosa last year, giving her £13. She was beaten three quarters of a length by Cela Rosa last year, giving her £12. And Cela Rosa does need to improve from what she did last season because of the weight for age scale. You know, she's now a 4-year-old, so she's carrying the full complement of weight. As a 3-year-old last year, she was getting plenty of weight off Viola on a couple of occasions. Now, Viola was 8 lengths behind her at Lingfield in October. I'm not sure that was her best effort. She ran better when she won a handicap at Sutherland in the next start. And then she was completely unsuited by dropping to 1.25 miles when she was last seen in January. I think the return to turf and the return to 1.5 miles will suit Viola. She's reasonably well exposed, but we're talking about horses here who've been winning handicaps off marks of 80, who are single figure prices like Delectable You. And Viola's got very solid handicap form. As I said, you know, she's rated 81 when she beat Cela Rosa last year. That form has worked out tremendously well. And she was then a comfortable winner off a mark of 90 at Southall. She's at least as effective on turf. This is her trip. And I think at 20-1, you've got to be back in her each way.
Okay. Case made for Viola. Viola and Cela Rosa, most likely winner, but each way Viola. Matt?
Yeah. I mean, Climate, I put a tweet out about that in the week. I mean, Rory's absolutely right. Climate would have one of the lower ratings in this race if she hadn't run last time. As it is, she's got the highest rating in the race. She was put up £8 for finishing 4th of 6, which makes her technically the best horse in this race. But I don't know how much you can judge a horse who's finished 4th of 6. Obviously, mathematically, it's very easy to judge her. But do you take it as literally? This is one of those cases where often afterwards, we all say, oh, well, the handicapper got it right after all. And we've kind of said the handicapper's a banana. But on this occasion, the handicapper might or might not be right. My gut feeling is that I would, like Rory, just question it a little bit. It's not like jumps racing because it doesn't really encourage you, does it, to run in a group race if you're going to go up £8 for finishing 4th of 6. But of course, Climate's connections are probably quite happy to go up £8 because they're after things like Black Type and they're after looking. They, in some ways, want to look a better horse than they actually are. Even that, in the great realms of things, if you wanted to get technical, makes you question the whole breed and everything, though, don't you? If you've got horses that are looking better than they are when it comes to breeding in the future, then, of course, the whole thing becomes downgraded. But that's a conversation for a whole nother kind of podcast. Anyway, after all that, because I wanted to get that out about Climate, I'm keeping it very simple, and I've gone with Marajan, and I'm going with Cela Rosa. Why go against a team that are in such good form? I guess the answer to that is price, but most of them percentage-wise are winning. They're winning about 1 in 3. So, I mean, Cela Rosa can mix it. I mean, her best form has come on the all-weather, but she's got perfectly good form on turf. The one thing I think she'll do better than the rest here is stay, because I think Noonstar isn't the biggest horse on earth. But the big question with Noonstar is the trip for me. She's campaigned as if they don't really believe she stays 1.5 miles. Mainly, she's been kept to 10 furlongs, which doesn't make sense for a horse they once thought would be an Oaks horse. And I thought she ran pretty poorly last time, Noonstar, and I'm not convinced she's a solid 1.5 miles horse, whereas Cela Rosa stays forever. And that stamina, for me, could be key for her.
Okay. You used to have a handicapper slot. So that's, by the way, sorry, just to recap, Matt going with Cee La Rosa and Rory Viola each way. You used to have a really good show with Phil Smith, the handicapper, a former handicapper. Did you call him a banana handicapper?
Oh, yeah. That was one of the nicer things I called him, I think. But the good thing about Phil and why that program kind of worked, even though it was fairly simple as far as handicapping shows are concerned, it wasn't meant to be a technical show as such. It was just meant to be able to bring figures in a slightly lighthearted way. But that was why banana. Phil was so good, because you could call him a banana and he would call me a watermelon, and it just worked well.
Fruity stuff. We'll have to watch some of those videos back. Right, let's go on to the other group three on the card.
How bored would you have to be?
I know. You know, there are people who are mad into their figures and whatnot, you know, and I'm sure they listen to this one as well. But we'll move on to the John O'Gaunt. This is the seven furlong, the other group three of the card. Hey, look, two off at 3:30, and we're going to be looking for seven furlong specialists between here, the Jersey, obviously, for three-year-olds, the Lennox Stakes, all these races over the course of the season, the Prix de Foray. And Kinross is definitely one of those seven furlong specialists, and he's the joint favourite Sunray Major. They're both 11-4. Sunray Major has been well back for John Paddy Gosden into 11-4 from 100-30. Happy Power is 7-2, 6-1 Spy Catcher for Carl Burke, Atlanta Cash is 15-2, and it's double figure odds for Major. Straight back at you, Matt Chapman.
Yeah, Sunray Major didn't seem to quite get home in the lock-ins. Travelled, actually, arguably better than Baid for quite a lot of the race, Sunray Major, but didn't get home. So you can see why the drop back in trip is there. Weakened quite tamely over that mile in the end. I've always felt that there's more to come from Lanakash. I like the fact they've kept the horse in training, which suggests they feel there's more to come as well. Roger Varian, Dane O'Neill, since he made a winning debut at Ascot, he's always promised much. He returned last season with a good second in the Hungerford to Sacred. Sacred was a pretty good filly back in the day. And I'm going to take a chance here that there might be some progression with Lanakash.
So good days by the sounds of things for Jim Crowley and William Haggis, it would appear, if Matt Chapman is barking up the right tree. Lanakash in the John O'Gaunt. Roy?
Well, except that Lanakash is trained by Roger Varian, but yeah.
Yeah, I said Jim Crowley. Doesn't he ride Maharaja earlier on?
Yeah, I think you said William Haggis as well, but I might be wrong. We'll have to watch it back.
Right. I normally let this go, but you tipped up two William Haggis horses and you tipped up two horses trained by Jim Crowley. Do you see you're ridden by Jim Crowley? I said trained by Jim Crowley.
Oh, no. You've got confused now, Patrick. No. This is...
You know what the key really, is?
As a host, and trust me, I know this better than most, you know. It's just about linking to your special guest, Pat. All you've got to say is, Rory, what do you fancy?
Yeah, look, that's all I have to say. And I stand by, I was right, but I've dug a bigger hole now for myself at this stage. I should just go what Ruby always says. He says, just don't answer, Matt. Just go on. Just don't answer him. All right, don't suit to his level. Rory, what do you fancy in the John O'Gaunt?
I'll keep it simple here. I think Kinross will take the world of beating. They've taken a while to work out the key to Kinross. He was a massively impressive winner on his debut at Newmarket as a juvenile. Which I think was a little bit of a surprise to connections how impressive he was. And Rafe Beckett wouldn't normally stick one in a Group One straight away after a maiden or a novice win. But he did. And he actually ran pretty well in the Guineas on his reappearance as a three-year-old. But it's taken a little bit of while to work out that he's a 7 furlong horse. On pedigree, he should stay further. But he seems to be best at 7 furlongs. And once they decided to drop him back to 7 furlongs last season, he clicked immediately, winning this race and going on to win the Lennox, which you mentioned as well. He was a little disappointing at the end of the season, dropped the 6 furlongs in the... in the champion sprint. But again, that's not quite his race. His runs in the, you know, he was a fourth in the foray. He was a close fifth in the Maurice de Geest over 6.5, which would have been a tad on the short side for him. And the problem with horses like this is that there aren't that many absolutely top-class races at 7 furlongs. There's just the foray. You know, would you probably one of the big 7 furlong contests here, either the City of York Stakes or the Hungerford or the Lennox to be upgraded to Group One. And then trainers will be a lot happier to campaign their 7 furlong horses that way. As it is, you know, there's a temptation always to either drop them and trip the 6 furlongs and win a group one at that trip or step them up to a mile. But, you know, when Kinross runs at his ideal trip, he looks a very good horse. He's got the best form in the race. You can get distracted a little bit by his defeats over longer or over shorter, but just stick to his form in this country over 7 furlongs, and he looks the clear pick of these. Frankie normally rides, but James Doyle takes over. You can't really complain too much about that. And conditions will be fine for him as well if he's effective on good ground, but he handles a bit of dig as well. So whatever kind of custard hate it. Throw up should be okay for Kinross.
Love a bit of custard. Custard on an apple pie. Can't beat it. Hot though. Can't be having cold custard now. Negative. No fun.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18+, begambleaware.org.
All right, we'll move on to Beverly, the 205. Just to recap there, Kinross, Ferrari, and Matt going with Lana Cash. Ridden by Jim Crowley. Trained by Roger Varian, and owned by the Shadwell Operation. Let's move on to the Hillary Needler, which will be the first of three races we're going to look at Beverly, the 205. And the favorite for this is named after my hosting abilities. Absolutely flawless. 15-8 favorite. 7-2 for the 6 horse. That's Rowan Scott ridden. That's Par Fire. Primrose Ridge is one of 2 Ammo Racing horses in this. 5-1. The other one being Distinguished Lady, who's 11-2 and has been backed. 7-1 Fragrance. Star of Lady M 7-1 and 20-1 Bar. Okay. Quick fillies. Quick 2-year-old fillies. 5 furlongs here, Rory. Beverly. And for those who missed it, they did have to abandon their card midweek due to the bend, I think it was. There's some jockeys complaining of slipping horses. So yeah. Hope they fix that.
Yeah, that's be disappointing if this is one of the best meetings of the year at Beverly, if it's an issue again. But it's quite a tight bend, but it's not normally an issue. And it's just when it gets a bit greasy, as it was the other day, that can cause a problem or two. But I don't expect it to crop up again. This is a tough race to deal with because Absolutely Flawless is strictly the one to beat, and she was quite impressive in winning the Lily Agnes at Chester. But it's not the easiest race to get a handle on because it was run on soft ground. They went very hard from the front, and the form filly in that race was Star of Lady M, who's gone off at odds on. Having settled really well in her first 2 starts and looked very professional, she then cocked her jaw and pulled like Billy O at Chester, which helped get other horses lit up. They went too fast in front, and it's easy to argue that Absolutely Flawless was helped by being held up at the back of the field as she came through to win cozily enough, although she was getting tired herself at the end. I'm not sure how to read that because I think you can say that she was suited by the soft ground and she was suited by being held up. I suspect she's just quite a fast filly, Absolutely Flawless. The early stages of that race were for me, she was most impressive because she was on the bridle. She wasn't outpaced and then stayed on past beaten horses. She travelled really strongly and looked good with a couple of furlongs to go. And she just paddled a bit late on the day. And I think she actually probably will be better on better grounds at this trip. And, you know, she was green on debut. She missed the kick. And then she's finished off really well to win at Southall. I think she's just taken a little bit of time for the penny to drop, and I respect her chances. But, you know, on paper, it wouldn't be a massive surprise if Star of Lady M bounced back and show the form that she'd shown previously, although her first 2 runs were in softish ground as well. So she does kind of look like a soft ground filly on paper. And I'd want to see her settle again, given what she did at Chester. So I find that a little bit tricky. Primrose Ridge was only 6 last time up. That was in a very warm listed race at York. I think the winner of that is a really nice performer. So I respect her chances as well. But I think I'm going to take a chance on one who's only had the one race. That's Par Fire for Nigel Tinkler. She's the daughter of James Garfield, who wouldn't have been the best performer we've seen on these shores in the last decade or so. But he's looking like a decent sire already because he's produced a high proportion of winners to runners so far, including Lady Bullet, who's won twice, including at Ripon yesterday. And more importantly, Maria Branwell, who was very impressive in winning the national stakes last time out. So James Garfield is looking like a decent sire of precocious, speedy 2-year-olds. And Par Fire, I thought, she wasn't particularly ready for her debut. She wasn't fancied. She's gone off at 20-1 at Doncaster. She was slowly away and she raced green in the early stages, but she came home really well to win that race on quick ground from Double Low, and Double Low has run pretty well since that as well. So I think that's good form, and I think she will improve as well. So she doesn't have much to find on form. Most of these have had a couple of runs. She's just had the one, and I think she'll step forward from it. So she would just about be the pick. And I'm just going to give a quick mention to one that I haven't mentioned as well. Distinguished Lady for Richard Hannon. She's got the best of the draw here. Her debut came over 6 furlongs at Newmarket, and she ran pretty well there, despite the fact that she got hampered by the runner-up that day who came through and sideswiped her. I think she'll benefit from a drop to 5 furlongs, and she would have a chance, even though the ratings say she's got lots to find. I would respect her chances as well, but I'm just coming down on par fire for Nigel Tinkler.
Okay. Nigel Tinkler, of course, had that filly that went all the way to Del Mar last year, didn't he? Did he have one that went to, or am I thinking of a different trainer?
Yeah, he's
he brought one out over to
Very good sprinting 2-year-olds in the last couple of seasons.
Yeah, exactly. That's par fire for Rory. Mr. Chapman.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think there's a lot of guessing with these types of races at this time of year, just as there are a little bit when it comes to the Royal Ascot 2-year-old races. You're hoping you might see a Queen Mary contender in here. My pin has fallen down on the horse that Rory Mentz last there, Distinguished Lady. I thought there was plenty of promise on her debut. I'm not really fussed about ratings with these kind of 2-year-olds. I mean, you could improve 20, 30 pounds for a run at this time of year. I mean, it really, the ratings don't worry me too much. Stall one for an inexperienced horse at Beverley. I mean, it should be a good draw. Obviously, she's a bit slowly out. That's not going to be ideal, but it's nice to see Hayley Turner with a good chance in a decent race. Could be a good week for female jockeys if Holly Doyle goes and wins the Oaks. I think most people will be cheering her on, even though there's an odds-on favourite. I'll go with Distinguished Lady. But for me, these are not races to be saying to anyone this or that will happen, because every single horse in this race is open to massive improvement. It's why you run the races, to see who comes on the most.
We saw that in the Lily Agnes anyway. You know, where two of these met and one of them looked to have a much better chance than the other, and the form was completely flipped in his head. I think Matt's spot on about trying to rate particularly fillies at this time of the year. It's an absolute nightmare, and you all these figures are just notional until the form settles down later in the year.
It's completely different, Patrick, to Baid, say, because you know roughly what he's going to bring to the table. But these are young horses. I mean, there's a reason why they get their ratings at the end of the season. I know the Baids do as well, but their ratings won't change much. But these horses could be, you know, they could start with a rating of 70 and end up at 110 or something. Who knows where they'll go? And the trainers often don't know even either. So how are we meant to know? It is a bit of a guess, but you can make a relatively intelligent guess. And I think that's what we're trying to do. It may not prove that way, but that's what we're trying to do.
Yeah, it all goes into the melting pot of trying to figure out. I love trying to find those really good 2-year-olds as well, even before they've run on breeding and jockey bookings. And I mean, some people like colours and everything. It goes into it. And yeah, it's great when you find one, isn't it? Sometimes it is just a pin job. But when you do go, yeah, I knew that was going to happen. Told you. Right, move on to the 240. It's a handicap on the card over 7 furlongs and 11-4 favourite. William Buick, who goes to Beverley, by the way, so he could have a good day. He's on board Percy's Lad, who's on a hat trick. That's the 11-4 favourite. Wob Wob is 7-2. A Hugo Gregory 4-1 has been backed in from 5s. Blue for You now with David O'Mara is 8-1, 10-1 Rising Star and Flame of Freedom. And I'm a gambler, so aptly enough, let's go to Matt Chapman.
Well, this is quite an interesting race because, I mean, look, I'm going to come down on the side of Percy's Lad, but there are a lot of out-of-form horses in this race. But of course, for these types of handicaps, an out-of-form horse is often just what you want, i.e. something that's come down the ratings. Percy's Lad is the absolute opposite to that. You could argue he's probably just about hitting the hilt of his handicap mark. But what's in his favour here is that he's a front runner who stays a mile, and this is just short, so he'll keep galloping. And he's got a very good draw to work from at Beverley for a front runner. So there are things in his favour that give him a chance of keeping the winning run going for one more run. I mean, not many handicappers win off 10 stone three in these types of races. Your gut feeling is that one of the horses with duck eggs might just be too strong at the end if they do return to form. But as I say, the mixture of Buick, the draw, staying strongly are enough for me to give Percy's Lad one more chance to win again.
Okay. Yeah, could get the hat trick. Rory?
Yeah, just it's a reasonable summary. I think he's certainly the right favourite because he's got those two improved efforts. He's actually not badly handicapped even in last season's form. Just lost his way a little bit. His new mark is still commensurate with what he was on middle of last season. So I'm certainly not against him. But I am, again, looking for those out-of-form horses who might be well handicapped. And the one I like, who's got the best of the draw as well, is Aaron Moore, who would have needed his reappearance. He was dead last year on his return over the longer trip. I think his best form is at this extended 7 furlongs. He showed speed on his reappearance. He went without the cheek pieces, which suggested it was just a prep run. You know, a lot of good trainers do that. Horses improve for headgear. When they're coming back off a layoff and they're not entirely fit, the headgear stays off. And then when it goes back on again, it's a sign for punters. The horse is now ready to do itself justice again. And his form, he ran moderately on soft ground in his final start. But coming up to that, his form last season was progressive and solid. Aaron Moore was a good half-length second to Hugo Gregory here in September. And prior to that, he'd run better than it looks at the time. He ran a three-runner race at Carlisle. But he was second to Epic Endeavour, who's a smart handicapper at that trip. And he had Radarna behind him. Now, Radarna's gone on to win twice in handicap since that, including in the Thirsk Hunt Cup this season, off the same mark he was off there. So finishing in front of him, even though it was a three-runner race, is actually very solid form. And Aaron Moore, if you just forgive him, a run on bad ground at the end of the season and a race he would have needed in his return, he looks reasonably well handicapped. He's a pound lower than for those good seconds over course and distance and at Carlisle. So he's handicapped to play a part. He likes to race handily and he's drawn a stall one. So I think I think everything about him suggests that he's going to bounce back and be there or thereabouts. And at a double figure price, I assume he's a double figure price.
12-1 at the time.
12-1. Yeah. Then I think he's a decent each way bet. I'm in no way against Percy's Lad. I think he's a likelier winner on paper, but I think there's upside at double figure prices about Aaron Moore for David O'Mara, whose horses are in very good form at the moment.
Bit of juice in the price of Aaron Moore 12-1, whilst Matt hoping that Percy's Lad can make it 3 in a row. Ever been to Aaron Moore, lads, off the west coast of Donegal? Lovely spot. Worth a visit. You pass it in the ferry. Yeah. I pass on the plane.
I've been to Bundoran.
Well, you're far away.
The one place in Donegal that I did stop off. I played crazy golf in Bundoran when I was about 6 years old.
Crazy golf. Custard.
An abiding memory.
No custard. Lots
which reminds,
of golf.
Reminds
lots of
me of a joke.
Oh, here we go. Go for it.
It's a classic Irish joke. It's where the name, there was a racehorse called Twice in Bundoran. This is where the name came from. Paddy is filling out an application form for a job and it says name Paddy Murphy, date of birth 15th of the 3rd 1972, sex Twice in Bundoran.
Most people go there for surfing, but fair play to Paddy. might have been with two different people as well, which fair play to him. All right, that was Bundoran and Aaron Moore, worth a visit. Don't go out of season though. I went out of season. I was asked, where can I go get a bite to eat? And they're like, mainland. Literally was the answer. Back at the ferry. Okay. Right, moving on to the 3:15 at Beverly. We're back to two-year-old, folks. It's that two-year-old trophy. Whistle and Flute for Eve Johnson Houghton in the Chipotle Silks is the 7-4 favorite. Rogue Spirit, another one of these who comes in off a win last time out is 9-2 for Tom Clover. Chateau, William Buick and I catching booking for Andrew Balding is 9-2. 6-1, JM Jungle for John Quinn. 8-1, The Riddler and 12's Bar. Straight back to you, Rory, for the two-year-old trophy at Beverly.
Yeah, this is no easier than the Hillary Needler. But it's worth recalling that this race has been won both by Bungle in the Jungle and by Jungle in the Bungle in the past. So
is JM Jungle related?
Yes, JM Jungle is a son of Bungle in the Jungle.
Perfect.
And as a player here, I thought he I thought he did well to win after a slow start at Hamilton last time out, after needing the experience on his debut. And I thought he was the type to improve a fair bit as well. He is related to James Garfield, who we were talking about earlier on there as well. So I think JM Jungle could do okay here. Coming from stall one, he needs to know a little bit more about it at the start than he has done in his last couple of starts. But I get the impression he's improving with experience, and he should go very well. And he's 6-1, which I think would tempt. I wouldn't be massively tempted to get, you know, to have a big bet in this race. But I'd be tempted for small stakes to take the 6-1 by JM Jungle. Again, as Matt says, because you cannot be absolutely certain about these about the level of form these horses have shown. Whistle and Flute is just about the pick of them. The horse who beat him at Ascot last time out looks a good prospect. I think he was the only newcomer in the race, Bakil, when he won that Royal Ascot 2-year-old trial stakes. And Whistle and Flute did best off a couple of previous winners in that. Fragrance went on and won next time out, who was third at Ascot. And Michaela's Boy ran pretty well on the national stakes. I think it was fourth in the national stakes last night. So that's the best form in the race. And strictly speaking, Whistle and Flute is the one to beat on that basis. But can you be absolutely sure about what the others have to offer based on one or two runs? No. And therefore, you can't be massively confident that Whistle and Flute is going to stay ahead of the pack here. I wouldn't be laying him at the prices, but I'm always looking for, you know, for a slightly bigger price in a race like this and smaller stakes, because as I said, what Matt said before is absolutely spot on. You'll go broke very quickly if you trust 2-year-old form as gospel at this stage of the season.
Matt, if I'm being very mean to you, Rory's been very nice to you anyway, so happy days. Yeah. What are your thoughts?
Well, it was a bit like the pod last week. I felt Rory and I sounded really intelligent throughout the whole of it, as if we really knew what we were doing. But the results didn't quite go our way, not like the week before. And that's just how it goes. But, you know, no one can doubt that on paper, at least, we're sounding like absolutely
true professionals,
the gods of the sport. I'm going to go with Rogue Spirit here. I like the fact he's got some track form. I think that's quite useful at Beverley. He also has a good draw to work from. The Rogue horses seem to be in real good shape this time around. Clover and Jack Mitchell, stall two, should come on at least a little bit for that debut effort and look quite promising. I just wonder with the Whistle and Flute, where, you know, how just because Chipotle did so well for the same owners, you kind of, everyone, I mean, I've said it on telly myself, oh, it's the next Chipotle, but I just don't think Whistle and Flute probably is quite as good as Chipotle. And yet we're trying to make him as good just because it's the same connection. So I want to take on the favourite here, and I'll go with Rogue Spirit for a trainer who is clearly going a few places, even if he's not quite going as many places as Buffy has gone in the last couple of seasons. Tom Clover is a man who's getting the headlines.
Have you come up with a nickname for George Bowie, Buffy? Buffy the classic Slayer?
I call him the Buffy the Slayer, yeah. I told him to use it on his website because everyone needs something. As of yet, he's just gone on the basis he's a classic winning trainer and sending out loads of winners, and it seems to be working, to be
fair. It's all right. It's all right. He's probably still in his 20s, isn't he? Right, so a couple of selections there in the 2-year-old trophy in JM Jungle, like each way, minimum stakes, and Rogue Spirit for the rogue that is Matt Chapman. Right, one more race to look at. We're looking at the 345.
No need. 345.
No need.
Just
suggested.
No need for that, Patrick. It kind of is,
Matt.
No need. You don't say this kind of stuff to Rory, do you?
No,
you
are, I don't.
No, you don't. No.
He's new, you know. We're still kind of shadow boxing a little bit.
I think he's cottoned on to what he's got involved with, though, hasn't he?
Big boy. 345 Chester, one race Chester live on ITV. This is a 7.5-furlong handicap, and no Paddy Power price at the time of recording, but other firms priced up. Boardman likely to be favoured for the race. I say likely, probably going to be favoured for the race. Fools Rush In also be the top of the market. Tomfra, Azano, Oh This Is Us, regular for Richard Hannon. They'll be to the fore. I'll go back to you, Matt, for the one race at Chester on Saturday.
So I suspect there'll be very similar comments to the Percy's Lad race that we talked about at Beverley early on in the podcast, because Boardman, for me, is my Percy's Lad in this race. I suspect he's right at his hilt, but he has the advantage of loving the track, being in great form, and having a great draw to work from. If he was drawn out wide, Boardman, I'd be absolutely taking him on and thinking this is the limit. But from such a good draw once again, I suspect that he can cope with the extra little rise from stall two. As I say, the extra little rise, if he was in stall 8, 9, or 10, I would think might just push him to over the top. But from the draw he's got, being in good form, the fact he stays the trip well, he's run really well, actually, even in defeat this season, Boardman. He's very consistent. I think he can do what I'm hoping Percy's Lad can do, is put one more win together before the finally the handicapper has got him by his short and curly gelded what's it.
Won the race last year. Poor man. We'll see how the Watsits go. But Rory, your thoughts?
Yeah, that again, reasonably fair points about Boardman. He's £5 higher than he was when he won the race last year. And he seems to do his winning off up to this kind of mark and no higher. He's a six-year-old now, but he didn't really click until last year. So there might just be a little bit more to come from Boardman. And it's no surprise to see him favourite from stall two. Theoretically, there should be less of a draw bias here. Over the 7.5 furlongs, the stalls are placed on the outside of the track, unusually for Chester. And you've got more chance of winning from a wide draw at this trip than you do of any other trip at Chester. So if you fancy one drawn wide, it's not the biggest disaster. But then you look through results of this race in previous years, and there still is. You're more likely to win from a low draw than a high draw. So there still is a little bit of a bias involved there. I very much, there's two I like in this race. One of them is drawn high, and it's probably a horse for later in the season, but it's one just to keep an eye on. And that's Spirit of Light. He's been badly drawn on his last two starts. Now, most of his form is in the UAE. He ran well at Maidan in a Group Two in January. He then went to Saudi and finished second in the his Highness the President Cup. He's been disappointed a couple of times since, but he was badly drawn on the dirt at Jebel Ali in the Jebel Ali Classic in March. And then he came back and made his UK debut, but his debut in the UK for Ian Williams in the Victoria Cup, where he was drawn two. And as we all know, you had to be drawn 27, 26 or 28 in the Victoria Cup to have any sort of chance. And he had the worst of the draw there. So he showed up well for quite a long way at a big price, and then met some interference and faded out of it without being knocked about. He is capable of winning off he's a horse with a lot of ability, Spirit of Light, as you'd expect, one with a triple figure handicap mark. And if he was drawn well here, I might have taken a chance on him. But again, you know, the excuse for him in his last two starts is a bad draw. So piling in again when he looks moderately drawn again is maybe not the wisest. But if he drifted in any further from his current price, he's 28-1 with a couple of firms, which he might do given the, you know, the recent form figures and the fact that he's got that draw. But Franny Norton's capable of overcoming
miracles,
by draw on the
miracles
right sort of thing.
Of Chester, yeah.
I don't want to over-egg that, because it's one of those things that, you know, it's a go-to phrase for most easy analysis. But I think he's one to keep an eye on over 7 furlongs on turf this season. He might be one for something like the Bunbury Cup at Newmarket. I'll probably throw a couple of bob on him just because you don't want to,
just in case
you don't want to get a notebook horse and then it pops up before you're ready for it at a big price. That's always annoying. So I'll have a saver on him. But the horse I thought you have to back in this race is Oh This Is Us, who's an absolute superstar for Richard Hannon. He wins every season. He's popped up at massive prices numerous times in his career. He won a Group Two last season. He won the Diamond Stakes at Epsom last year at a big price. And that was only a couple of months after winning a listed race at Ascot at 66-1. He's been tremendously consistent over the years. Not necessarily every run is similar, but he keeps running to a similar level over the years. He looked as good as ever last year. He's finally started dropping in the weights. He wasn't beaten far on his penultimate start at Haydock. I think that was the race won by Boardman, wasn't it? He finished third that day, beaten a length. He was rated 93, giving £3 to Boardman. He's now dropped to a mark of 92. It's not a massive drop, it has to be said, but it means that he is he's now receiving £3 from Boardman in this race. And he loves Chester. Mm-hmm. He has never been worse than third in multiple runs at Chester. He's therefore very likely to bounce back to something like his best form. And off his current mark, there's no doubt in my mind that that he's capable of winning another one. And, you know, you just look through his record and every year he pops up at least once. He must be an absolute star to own. His lifetime record at Chester is 1-1-2-1-3, and he's won both starts over this course and distance. Given where he's fallen to in the weights, I think he's a horse you can't leave alone at the prices.
Lovely. Oh, this is us. Definitely a selection. One to watch out for, Spirit of Light and Boardman for Matt Chapman. That is the ITV Racing covered. As the breaking news hits me here at home, Charlie Appley confirms Nation's Pride will be supplemented for the Derby, which is great news. So that's another string to the Appleby bow as Godolphin and Ballydoyle go hammer and tongs next week with some fella called Stout throwing a horse in there as well. I'm really looking forward to that next week. But right now, it's this weekend, and I would like a nap selection, please. I will go back to you, Mr. Chapman. Best bet on Saturday.
You know what? It's almost because I'm feeling grumpy. Dragon Symbol.
Why are you feeling grumpy?
Well, just because I think that probably the horse hasn't trained on. But I'm going to give him one last chance because, unlike some, I am forgiving by nature.
Don't know who you're talking about, but anyway, it's definitely not me. So that's the main thing. Anyway, right. So Dragon Symbol is best bet of the weekend for Matt, for Rory. Got a feeling I know which one it is.
Yeah, it's going to be All This Is Us.
Yeah, thought so.
Everything seems to be falling in place for him. He's such a likable horse as well.
Yeah.
And unlike all those two-year-olds we've been talking about, you know everything about him, which is a massive plus.
I love those stats about his record at Chester as well. Never worse than third. 3 wins in 2 places. Is it from 5? Yeah, love that'll do. He'll be a decent each. He will be an each way price. I see he's been shortened with a few other firms. We haven't priced him up yet, but it'll be up probably by the time this is live. So should be a nice each way price. Gentlemen, that is a wonderful look ahead to the weekend. A reminder to those who want to go and watch magic. I can't call it anything else happen in front of your very eyes by watching a Paddy Power quiz. Well, it's going to be 3 of them. It's absolutely free to go to. There will be, again, I reiterate, free food, free quizzes, free booze. You could walk out of here a free hotel, to borrow a line from The Simpsons. If nothing else, go for the free booze. I know it will be fun. Please do email fthm at Paddy Power. Myself and Mark will see that. We'll be able to get you on the list. And you'll be able to bring someone as well. And there will be some really good fun. And Ruby Walsh will be there. You can get a selfie. He loves selfies, lads. Go up to him and ask for a selfie. He absolutely loves it. Ruby, he absolutely loves it. And if he's gruff or whatever, that's just, it's all playing the act. Don't worry about it. It's all just playing the act. Do check out the notes for this episode. And we will be able to get you all the details on the email address, as the producer reminds me to say that, because he's a very good producer, to be fair. So, lads, have a good weekend. Matt from Valencia for the weekend. Happy days.
Bye-bye.
Oh, he's off. He's on the sangria already. Enjoy it. Listen, we'll be back next week. By the way, we'll be back early next week. We're going to look ahead to the Oaks on the Thursday, and then on the Friday, we'll be back looking ahead to the Derby. Can't wait for it.